We're going to read from Exodus chapter 33. We'll read from then from Exodus chapter 33. We'll begin reading at verse 7. The subject for this evening is the face of God. In a couple of weeks' time, pastor's asked me to do another meeting, so we'll also, the subject then will be the hand of God. But this evening we're going to look, just share a few thoughts on the face of God. So we commence our reading in Exodus 33 and verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then would it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious, to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion, on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." For the Lord said, and the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." So the subject this evening then is the face of God. Well, the face and the name of a person is the face and the name is the main form of a person's identity. We read that God said to Moses twice, "I know you by name," and they spoke face to face. So it is, a face is how we are individually recognized, and the face is personal. And the ancient Hebrews, the people of Israel at that time, they worshipped a personal God. That's as opposed to an impersonal one like the gods of the surrounding nations. And so as they worshipped a personal God, their desire was that his face be turned toward them in good favour, or shine upon them, or find favour in his sight. And so in the Psalm 27 we read, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. The desire then for his face to shine upon us, to be face to face with God, is to desire his presence. As we have read, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. I mean, Moses is not the only one. Remember Jacob when he wrestled with God before he met his brother Esau. When in the morning he awoke and said that he had been face to face with God. And yet we live in an unimaginably large universe, and we worship an unimaginably large God. And yet here is God in the middle of nowhere, meeting with Israel in the Sinai desert and talking face to face with Moses. And we get a glimpse of what was being said when they spoke. Moses begins by saying, now therefore I pray you, if I have found favour in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favour in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't lead us up from here. The Hebrew word is panim. It's sometimes translated presence. Literally, it means face. It's one of those words which there's great difficulty in really ascertaining the exact meaning of it. If we lived in Bible times, we wouldn't have a problem with it, because there is that apparent difficulty where we read at the beginning of the chapter that Moses spoke face to face with God, and then at the end of the chapter God says, you cannot see my face. There's an apparent contradiction, but it's to do with the difficulty in ascertaining the exact meaning of the word, when sometimes it means face and sometimes it means presence. It means both mean the same thing, if you understand me. There's another word. It's Peniel, and it means the face of God. It's the name of a place, and it is where Jacob had been wrestling with God, and he called the name of the place Peniel, the face of God. To be present with someone then is for our face to be with them. We're listening to their words. We're reading the body language. We're reading the facial expressions, if we are really giving them our attention. For us to be really present with each other means that there's no masks. The persona has been removed. We're face to face. We're not manipulating our appearances, but it's who I really am with who you really are. Just as an illustration, we would understand a face-to-face meeting. Sunday morning, the news channels were in a frenzy because President Trump, on his visit to South Korea, has suddenly decided he's going to meet President Kim. And it caused a great stir, but he decided to meet him. And when the other presidents have been to that place, they've put on their bomber jackets and military, showing off their strength. They're manipulating their appearances. But President Trump, he just turned up and he met with his President Kim, and they shook hands and they had a talk, and they even stepped into one another's territory, one another's personal space. And then they had a good chat and then they left. That's how we would understand a face-to-face meeting, isn't it? So that is how we speak face to face with one another, if we are honest and if we are giving our full attention. So how then can we know God and his face? How can we know God's presence? Well, we can only know God and his presence if he reveals himself to us as a face. Because if we are seeking our idea of God, we will never know his presence. And if we are seeking him, we are seeking his face, then we are faced with who he really is. And who God really is might actually be drastically different from our ideas of who he is or who he should be. So he must reveal himself to us. And the word presence then literally means face. My face shall go with you. If your face doesn't go with us, don't lead us up from here. In seeking the presence of God, Moses seeks God's face. He's not permitted to see it. Yet, God interacts with him face to face. Why is that? It's because Moses desired to know God's way in order to know him. He said, let me know your ways that I may know you. That's what seeking God's face is all about, knowing him personally. And that comes from learning and knowing his ways. Just as perhaps a little aside, we can also notice that being in the presence of God, God has revealed himself as a face to someone, well, it'll have an effect. It'll be clear to other people, yet not always realised ourselves. There was an effect with Jacob, wasn't there? He limped. That was obvious to everyone. It's obvious to himself. A little later, Moses goes up the mountain to receive the law. And when he returned, his face shone. He'd been in the presence of God. And he didn't realise it. And he had to put a veil over his face because the sight of his face shining was distracting those around him from the message. And that was the law which God had given him to bring down. And so there's a lesson for us there, isn't there? That we mustn't be distracted by whoever's bringing the message. They need a veil, as it were, because we must listen to what God is saying. Now then, our face obviously won't shine like Moses it. We probably won't get a limp either, but it will be obvious if we are people of the word, because that is how God is usually present with us in our times. As we meditate and read the word, and it becomes part of us, perhaps we could say it'll be noticed when the word gets into our fingertips, when we are doers of the word. It becomes noticeable. But God spoke to Moses face to face, and yet Moses wasn't permitted to see God's face. But then the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The creator, the sustainer of billions of galaxies of our universe, he became a man. He humbled himself. He emptied himself. We read in Philippians that he did not strive to make anything of himself. He did not need to prove that he was God. And he emptied himself and became a man. And so the Apostle John tells us what he saw. He said, we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father. Full of truth and grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And no one has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Or in the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:6, Paul says, "For God, who caused light to shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God," where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reveals God to us in a way that no other can. In Jesus, God reveals himself to us as a face, or we could say as a neighbour. Do we see something of this character in each other? Do we see something of his character in each other? Is it reflected in us? You see, the light shone out of darkness, not into it. Jesus did not just proclaim God's word. He is the word. And that's why Jesus told Philip, to paraphrase it, he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And we know the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we can know God because the Holy Spirit enables us to see Jesus clearly. And if we see Jesus, we see the Father. We know God only in an interactive relationship with him. Perhaps even like Jacob, we may wrestle with him. But if there's no interactive relationship, then it indicates there's no knowledge of God and his face, because knowing God's presence means knowing Jesus. And like any relationship, a relationship with Jesus should be face to face. Who I really am with who he really is. We have to be open and honest before him, and we have to trust him. Because relationships without trust aren't friendships, are they? Well, we can know the ascended Jesus today. We can see his face through the work of the Holy Spirit as we read and encounter him in the Gospels and throughout the Bible. We can see the face of God in Jesus Christ. But what about those times when we don't sense God's presence? What when those times when his face doesn't seem to be shining on us, and we spend time in prayer? We read the word. Like the psalmist, we desire God's face to shine upon us. Like Moses, we want to know God's way so that we can know him. But God is silent and absent, and we get nothing. What about those times? Well, we have the Psalms we can take comfort from. The Psalms often express the honesty of feeling like God isn't present. In Psalm 13, one of the opening questions is, "How long will you hide your face from me?" In Psalm 69, David begs the Lord, "Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Answer me quickly." Another Psalm 88 reads, "O Lord, why do you reject my soul? Why do you hide your face from me?" If we're discouraged by a lack of sensing God's presence in our life, we're not alone. We can take comfort in the Psalms. We can also take comfort in Isaiah. In chapter 50 we read, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." But we learn it's possible to do the right things with the right motivation and still experience a lack of God's face, a lack of his presence. And if we are seeking God, and we're not experiencing his presence, his face shining on us, it may be that actually God is very much at work in our life and ordaining this season for our growth. And ironically, in a situation like that, lacking a sense of his presence might be a sign of his presence. Well, we've looked a little way at the face of God. There's much more that could be said. We've looked a little way at the face of God, and so there's much more that could be said with regard to the many references you could look up referring to God's face and his face shining. And so the Word was made flesh and presence among us, or tabernacle among us, and we behold his glory, as what John said, but not the Shekinah glory. It wasn't the Shekinah glory of the old tabernacle, but the Son of God made flesh. That's where the glory was, in Christ Jesus. And so we come finally to the last vision in Scripture, in Revelation, where John describes those who have his name on their foreheads and what they will see. They will see that which no created angelic beings have seen, because they have to cover their eyes with their wings. The only ones who can look upon God, will be able to look upon God, are his image bearers, those who he created in his own image and are now so transformed that they shall see his face. And John says, they shall see his face. You know, the last words of Ezekiel's prophecy are, the name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there, and they shall see his face.